today we'll talk about something, since we didn't have a shir yesterday on Shavuos B'Tammuz, I thought we would do something 3 weeks related. Even though it's not mamish about 3 weeks, but 3 weeks related. There is a page in your benchers, when you open up the bencher, right before Birchat Hamazon, where it clearly says two options of what to say before benching. And those two options are Shir HaMalos or Al Na'aruz Bavel. The way most people seem to deal with those two options is they'll either say Shir HaMalos or nothing, right? So why is that? Where did it come from that we have those two options of Shir HaMalos and Al Na'aruz Bavel? When are we supposed to say the Shir HaMalos versus the Al Na'aruz Bavel? And why is it that there seems to be this idea that people say neither, you know, most of the time? So there is a Gemara in Maseches Brachos and Daf Gimel. The Gemara tells us, Amar Rav Yitzchak Bar Shmuel Mishmei Derav, Shalosh Mishmaros Havi Alayla. There are three sections of the night, the three separate shifts of guards in the Mikdash at night. Val Kol Mishmar Mishmar Yoshev Kodesh Baruch Hu V'Shoeg Ka'ari. And each Mishmar Kodesh Baruch Hu roars like a lion. Va'omer, Oy lebanim shebavanosei mechrafti as besi v'serafti as echali. Woe unto my children, in their sins I destroyed my Beis HaMikdash, I burnt my Heichal, v'iglisim lebeinu masolam, and I sent them to galus amongst the masolam. So what's HaKadosh Baruch Hu concerned about? Mamish on a daily basis, not just concerned about, but roaring like a lion about? The Churban HaBayis. Meaning this is not something that happened once and comes Tisha B'Av, we remember it, and every other day we forget. Now, every single day, it's on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind, Kaviyachu. Meaning there's no such thing as on HaKadosh Baruch Hu's mind, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu knows everything at all moments and at all times. So, but whenever we describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu in human terms like that, whether it be what's on his mind, and whether it be that he's screaming and roaring like a lion, what's the purpose of describing HaKadosh Baruch Hu like that? Yeah, so we understand what we're supposed to be doing. There is a requirement in the Torah. The Gemara tells us in a couple of places, Mahu Afata, right? We describe HaKadosh Baruch Hu as Akel, Rachum, Nechanun, Erech Apayim, not as the song goes, Erech, Kama, Apayim. He's Erech Apayim. He's not tall and also angry. He's an Erech Apayim. He's slow to anger, right? That's the. It's important to get the punctuation right when you say things in davening. But there's a requirement that whatever descriptions we have of Hashem are there so that we can know how we're supposed to behave, because we're supposed to mimic that which Kadosh Baruch Hu is described. So if Kadosh Baruch Hu is described as being a rachum and a chanun, it means that we're supposed to be a rachum and a chanun. Kadosh Baruch Hu is described as being mevakar cholat Avram Avinu, being malbish arumim for Adam and Chava. It means that we're supposed to be mevakar cholim. We are supposed to be malbish arumim. And similarly, if Kadosh Baruch Hu is described by the Gemara as roaring and crying over the Churban HaBayis on a daily basis, it means that we too are supposed to be thinking about the Churban HaBayis on a daily basis. It doesn't take very far into Shulchan Aruch for the Mechaber to tell us, Simin Aleph, Siv Gimel, Ra'ui l'kol Yerei Shamayim, She'emetzar v'doeg al Churban Beis HaMikdash. Every Yerei Shamayim has to be worried and saddened about the Churban HaBayis, and that's where the minhag of Tikkun Chatzos comes from. It's something that's supposed to be on our minds. It is interesting. Ra'ui l'kol, how would you have said it? Ra'ui l'kol, who should be doing this? I would have said Ra'ui l'kol Adam, right? L'kol Yisrael. What does Shulchan Aruch say? Ra'ui l'kol Yerei Shamayim. Do you ever have like a mitzvah like that? That's only reserved for Yerei Shamayim and not for others? Like, you know, when Chabad is putting on tefillin on people, right? Do they give them a bechina first? Oh no, you're not a Yerei Shamayim, you can't put on tefillin? No, adrabba, they're trying to get them to do as many mitzvahs as they can. So even if they don't pass any other, there's no prerequisites. It's not like, oh, you can't take the advanced course until you pass the earlier course. There's no prerequisites for most mitzvahs. And here for this mitzvah being doeg u'meitzar al churban, there's a source for that idea. Yeah?
Fasting, that's a different fast for people fast.
What? Oh, Gemara in Tainus talks about who should be fasting at certain points for rain. Wow, you must have had a very good teacher from Maseches Tainus. So the who should be fasting for rain? So in the earlier stages, only very important people fast, and then later stages gets expanded. We do find that, that's true. But specifically when it comes to Korban HaBayis, there's a strange Gemara, I don't know what else to call it, in Bava Kamma Daf Nun Tes, where the Gemara tells the story of a fellow who was wearing black shoes, and apparently it was very unusual then to wear black shoes. It was like a sign of avelus. It wasn't something that was a normal thing to do. Jews wore white shoes back in the day. They, I guess, like golf shoes. I don't know, but they wore white shoes back in the day, and not black shoes. And this fellow was wearing black shoes, and he was arrested. He was arrested by Jewish authorities, by the Reish Galusa. And they said to him, "Why are you wearing black shoes?" He said, "Well, I'm being masabel on the Korban HaBayis." So they said, "Chashivas atus abulei. You think you're chashuv enough to be masabel on the Korban HaBayis? What makes you think you're so chashuv?" So he says, "I'll tell you why I'm so chashuv. I'll tell you why. You can give me a bechina, or I'll give you a bechina, one way or the other, however you prefer, and I'll prove my chashivas." And they said, "Okay, you give us a, you know, you ask." I forgot which way it was. Who asked who a question? I think it was that he was asking them a question. He asked them a question. They didn't know the answer. He explained the answer. They said, "Oh, okay, fine. You are chashuv enough." So they let him go. It's unbelievable. It sounds like you have to be a certain level of chashivas to be misabel in the Korban HaBayis. But that's somewhat of a chiddush, meaning it could be for such an external, overt act of avelus where everybody sees it, that, you know, it's like if let's say you'd have a camper who just decided one day, you know, kind of kid is from, Teaneck or Woodmere or something, and he decides one day that he's ready for a strimal and a gartel, and, you know, like he comes in one day and he has, like, you'd be like, why are you doing that? Like, it doesn't fit. It doesn't, like, fit your, you know, it's not where you're holding. Well, I want to become more religious. Maybe start with waking up on time for shacharis, right? Maybe start with saying a bracha before you eat something. And you can become more religious in other ways, assuming that would be counted as more religious. But, you know, I don't know if wearing a strimal in 100-degree heat is more religious or just, like, clinically insane. But, you know, maybe become more religious in other ways. So it could be that because it's such an overt method of avelus. But we do find that specifically when it comes to Su'uda, we focus on Korban HaBayis. Not just every day, but specifically when it comes to Su'uda. Why? Where do we find that when it comes to Su'uda, we focus on Korban HaBayis? Rachim, in benching, B'nai Yerushalayim. And we mentioned in benching. In fact, Beis Yosef quotes one of the reasons that we take the knife off the table or cover the knife for Birchas HaMazon, you know, the famous reason according to Beis Yosef. So you don't stab yourself because you're so upset over the Korban HaBayis. You're going to say Rachim, you're going to say Bnei Yerushalayim, you're going to be thinking about the fact that there is a mosque right now in Har HaBayis. You're going to take the knife and you're going to stab yourself. So in order to prevent that from happening, we don't have the knife, we cover the knife during Birchas HaMazon. Which, you know, the Balei Musar points out, what are the chances? You're really going to do that? Like, what are we really concerned about? So the Balei Musar point out, no, it's not because we're actually concerned that you're going to do that. It's so that we can be reminded that there was once a Jew who cared so much about the Korban HaBayis that he did that. There was a Jew who cared that much about it. For us, we're never going to care that much about it that we're going to do it. But that's, you know, but we should remember that it's something worth caring about. Now, says the Shlach HaKadosh, Nogea to our Inyan. He says, because of this requirement to be doeg and meitzar about the Korban HaBayis, al kein, noagin lomar mizmar, al naros bavel, kodem Birchas HaMazon. There's a minhag to say, al naros bavel, before Birchas HaMazon, ubiprat, ki ha-shulchan b'makom ha-mizbeach. Because especially the shulchan is domel ha-mizbeach, so al naros bavel, avu bavel nosenu ha-rabim, lo yesh ha-mizbeach ba'atzmo, yachzor, azay lebanim shegolim el shulchan aviyam, ubishabz yom tovim omrim, mizmor b'shuv Hashem ashiv ha-tzion. And Shabbos Niyantiv, we need to make it a little more cheerful, but we still want to remember Tzion. So we say Shir HaMalos, which is a more cheerful kind of a paragraph to say. So that's the idea, that Dafka on the Shulchan, which is Domel and Mizbeach. It could also be that Chazal chose the Su'uda to be the place to remember Chorban in a different context as well. The Gemara Maseches Basra, Daf Samach Amud Beis, the Gemara tells us what happens in the aftermath of the Churban Bayis Sheni, how people reacted to the Churban HaBayis. So the Gemara says, Kesheharav HaBayis B'Shniya, when the second Beis Hamikdash was destroyed, there were people that were so upset, so dejected, so depressed, that they started a new practice. They said, we cannot eat meat or drink wine anymore. How could we experience any simcha in this world if we don't have the Beis Hamikdash? So Rabbi Yoshua thought that that was an overreaction. He knew that it was going to be a while, and to not eat meat or drink wine for centuries for the Jewish people is going to be quite a challenge. So he said to them, what's going on? Why are you not eating meat and drinking wine? So they said, how could it be that we eat meat? It reminds us of the basar karbanos. How could it be when we drink wine, it reminds us of Nisa Chayayin on the Mizbeach? How could we drink? So he said, I hear, a decent point. So you know what else you shouldn't do? You shouldn't eat bread, because it will remind you of Karban Mincha, which was bread. So they said, excellent point, you're right. We're not going to eat bread, but we'll subsist on peros alone. He said, oh, I don't know about peros either, because the bikurim that they would bring in the Mikdash was also peros. So they said, you're right, we won't eat any of the peros that were used for bikurim. Which peros were used for bikurim? Only Shavas Aminim. So okay, we could do with like peaches and oranges and apples and whatever. Like, we'll be okay. We'll have vegetable salads. We're okay with that. You're right. We're only going to have vegetable salads and tuna fish. That's what I have for lunch every day. A vegetable salad with some tuna fish in it. Right? Well, that's what we'll have every day. Baby corns, hearts of palm, you know, whatever. That's what we'll have every single day. So he said, yeah, but mayim lo nishta. You shouldn't drink water because there's nisuch hamayim. When was Nisuch HaMayim done? Only Sukkot. I was once sitting with Rav Shechter a few weeks ago in the OU office, and he answers shailas from all of Klal Yisrael, essentially, sitting in the OU office on Fridays. And, you know, people come in from the OU that work for the OU that have all sorts of kashrus shailas, and they throw shailas at him, and the phone is ringing off the hook, and he's answering from here, from there. And there was one rabbi that called up and kept him on the phone for 45 minutes to an hour straight, just asking one ridiculous shaila after another. Like, most of the shailas were not even... So one of the things the rabbi needed to know, and he had to use Rav Shechter's time to ask, was, how many days a year do we do Nisuch HaMayim? So, you know, like, open the Mishnah, you know? Like, you have to bother Rav Shechter with this, you know? So Rav Shechter, of course, is with incredible patience, going through everyone, and also having to make it sound like every question is an intelligent question. So he says, oh, that's a machlokas, actually, whether it's 7 days or 8 days. It's a machlokas whether we do it on Shmini Atzeres also, machlokas tanayim. But it was only done Sukkot time, okay? 7 days out of the year, 8 days out of the year. They do Nisuch HaMayim. Fine. So he said, you shouldn't be able to drink, Rabbi Shua says to them, you shouldn't be able to drink water, because Nisuch HaMayim. So they said, well, then we can't live. He's like, exactly. So maybe you're overreacting with the meat and the wine business. So don't overreact. So they said, what? We should just like ignore the Churban HaBayis? How are we supposed to do that? You said there's no way we're supposed to just ignore the Churban HaBayis. So what did he recommend for them? What did he and his quote la halacha in Shulchan Aruch? What did he say to do? When you set a table for a giant feast, leave something off, something missing. When a woman sets up her jewelry, something should be missing. Meaning, when you build a house, leave an amma by an amma missing from the from plastering the house. So one of the zones where he identified that there should be something different is how we eat a su'uda. He said also when a person gets married, put ashes on Rosh Chasanim, on the head of the Chasan, to remind him, and now this Yerushalayim al Rosh Simcha Seinu, that we always have Yerushalayim on our Simchas. Yeah. Yeah, but he was trying to make a point that, you know, in the Davar Sof. Okay, but he thought they were doing too much, and it was, meaning something that could, you have to give something that's manageable that would be able to last. So the idea of doing a Zeichel HaMikdash Davka by a Seuda makes a ton of sense, because it's the Shulchan Damol HaMizbeach, And, you know, that's probably why the Gemara highlights the Shulchan as one of the places to do a Zecher LeMikdash. There's another benefit in Shir HaMalos and Al Naros Bavel. That's what the Aruch HaShulchan points out. The Aruch HaShulchan thinks it's the Iker benefit of Shir HaMalos and Al Naros Bavel. And that is that the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Kol Shulchan Shlo Amra Lev Divrei Torah, any Shulchan where you don't say Divrei Torah, Kilu Ochel Mizivchei Mesim. It's as if you're eating from Zivchei Mesim, okay, from Karbonos of the Dead. Probably means Karbonos of Avodah Zarah. You have to have Divrei Torah at a Suda. What's the problem? Sometimes you ask for a Divrei Torah. You know, at my Shabbos table the other week, four of my children said a Divrei Torah. I have, thank God, my wife and I are blessed with five wonderful, very different from each other children. And four of them said a Divrei Torah. And one of them was feeling a little left out, one who may or may not be a teen camper in Camp Kaylee right now. And he was feeling a little left out, so he said, oh, I have a Divrei Torah too. So I said, okay, very exciting. He said, why is Parshas Korach with a kuf? Because otherwise it would be Orach, and that wasn't his name. That was his Divrei Torah. So sometimes a person just doesn't know any Torah. And if a person doesn't know any Torah, so then his table is going to be Zivchei Mason, right? You don't want to have a meal like that. So they came up with this great idea. You'll always say either Al Naros Bavel or Shir HaMalos. It's a song. Everyone could remember it. And then you'll always have Divrei Torah. You're saying Mizmorim of Tehillim. You're saying chapters of Tehillim at your table. And that's another benefit of saying these things. All week, apparently, you're supposed to say Al Naros Bavel. Minyaz is, right? I mean, that's the minhag that the Shlach HaKadosh, quotes. There is a discussion. You know, let's skip straight to that, actually. Why is it that so many people don't say Al Naros Bavel, you know, during the week? The Maisa that was going around the Yeshivat Netiv Aryeh was that someone asked Rav Nevensal why it is that so many people don't say Al Naros Bavel, and Rav Nevensal looked perplexed, and he said, what? People don't say Al Naros Bavel? Like, he couldn't believe it. So I asked Rav Ami Merzel from Netiv if that was a true story. And he said he doesn't know. He doesn't think so, but he doesn't know. He said when he asked Rav Nevensal to explain, if he has any explanation why people don't say Al Naros Bavel, Rav Nevensal said, it's chaval that they don't, because people really should. That's what Rav Nevensal told him, which is a little bit surprising to me, because it is recorded that Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach did not say Al Naros Bavel before benching. And typically Rav Nevensal is pretty loyal to Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach's Piskei Halacha. Rav Nevensal was a chavrusa with Rav Shlomo Zalman for several decades. Rav Shlomo Zalman used to call Rav Nevensal up on Erev Yom Kippur to get a bracha from him, because he wanted to get a bracha from the biggest tzaddik he knew before going into Yom HaKippurim. Rav Shlomo Zalman once said about Rav Nevensal that as far as tzidkus is concerned, he's from the Gedolei Hador, because Rav Shlomo Zalman was alive. As far as tzidkus is concerned, as far as his righteousness, he's from the Gedolei Hador. And he said, and as far as learning is concerned, he's not from the Ketanei Hador either. You know, he was trying to say, like, you shouldn't only think of him as a tzaddik, he's quite a Talmud Chacham as well, which obviously is the case. So anyway, the Rav Nevensal, in his Yerushalayim B'Mo'adeha, they put out Rav Chizkiya, his son, puts out these Svarim of Rav Nevensal's Torah, his Sichot, as well as his Piskei Halacha. So he says, when you say Divrei Torah in the Suda, maybe then you don't have to say Al Naros Bavel. Because if you hold that the Iker reason of saying Al Naros Bavel is like the Aruch HaShulchan, so as long as you say Dvar Torah, not the Orach Korach Dvar Torah, like a real Dvar Torah during the Suda, so then it could be that you don't have to say Al Naros Bavel. That would explain why people don't say Al Naros Bavel if they say Divrei Torah. It would not really explain why people do say Shir HaMalos on Shabbos then. Meaning, Adraba, if there was one time a week where people are actually saying Divrei Torah, probably, it's more likely on Shabbos that they're saying Divrei Torah. So why would you dafka say Shira Malos on Shabbos and not Al Naras Bavel during the week? So that's a little bit difficult to understand. There amongst Hasidim, there is an idea that people find it too upsetting to say Al Naras Bavel. You know, Hasidim emphasize Simcha a lot more than others do, and they don't like to be brought down because they feel that it takes away from one's avodas Hashem, and a person who's not feeling a constant state of simcha is not going to be able to be over Hashem properly. It's not stam that simcha is often misunderstood. It's that you should be carefree and don't worry, you can do whatever the heck you want as long as you're happy. That's not what it's really about. It's about in a state of simcha, a person's tefillah is stronger, a person's avodah is better. In general, people are more productive when they're happy than they are when they are sad. Anyone who runs any organization of any size can tell you that when their employees are happy, they will be more productive. If you ever took a tour of Google, did I mention this the other week? They provide everything you could ever want, because they want you to feel like you're lucky to be working there. And if you feel that way, then you're likely going to have more creative ideas. You'll think of new things. You'll be more productive. So that's Hasidim in general try to stay away from downers. So, in fact, by Lubavitcher Hasidim, they tell the story of Rav Hillel Paritcher, who was never wanted to be ba'atzvus. He never wanted to be sad. He never wanted to have to say Al Naras Bavel. But he was very makbid about everything it says in Shulchan Aruch and in Farshe Shulchan Aruch. So he always wanted to find an excuse to say Shir HaMalos instead of Al Naras Bavel. So every su'uda was a su'udas mitzvah. He would find, a bris, a chasana, this, that. Every su'uda to assume a sechta, every su'uda would be a su'udas mitzvah. And one time they couldn't find a bris or a siyum or anything, and he said, I guess we're going to have to say Al Naras Bavel. He says, ooh, we have an Oreya Chashuv, a guest that we never had before. Al Naras Bavel is a guest at our table and has never been here before. So it should bring us great simcha that Al Naras Bavel is a guest at our table, so we should say Shir HaMalos in his honor and not Al Naras Bavel. That's a Chasid HaShemaisa. If you've ever, if you want the definition, textbook definition of Chasid HaShemaisa, that's it. That's Chasid HaShemaisa. But that's the explanation given, at least, by the B'nai Yisaschar and others. B'nai Yisaschar is the name of the Sefer, not the B'nai Yisaschar. Why? I don't know. Shachta said a reason, I forgot. I think, what was it? I forgot it. I think because his Rebbe had a tradition that he was from Shevet Yisaschar, and he held that you pronounce it Yisaschar. I don't know, something like that. But anyway, it became known as the Sefer B'nai Yisaschar. So I thought that you could explain this Shita a little bit differently. You know, there are two ways that we remember the Churban. This is Stam, a good Hashkafa to have, to even just realize like what the Halacha is. There's a Gemara that we quoted before in Bab Basra. Not eating the meat and not drinking the wine, okay, that's too much. So leave a little off of the house, put ashes on the chassan's head, leave a little bit off of the jewelry, a little bit off of the su'uda. And the Gemara says, how do I know you're supposed to do that? So the Gemara quotes a pasuk in Tehillim Kof Lamed Zayin, Im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yimini, tidbak l'shon milachiki, l'chulim, right? That's how we see, from there we learn that you're not supposed to ever forget Yerushalayim. There is another Gemara, Sukkah Daf Mem Aleph, where the Mishnah says that we make a Zecher L'Migdash by taking Lulav for all 7 days, even outside of Yerushalayim. On a Daraisa level, you only take Lulav outside of Yerushalayim the first day. In Yerushalayim, all 7 days. Why do we do all 7 days in New York and anywhere else in the world? Nowadays, Zecher L'Migdash, to remember the Migdash. The Gemara over there says, how do I know you make a Zecher L'Migdash? Quotes a pasuk in the 30th chapter of Yirmiyahu. The pasuk says, "Tzion hi doresh ein la," that there is no one being doresh tzion. No one is seeking out tzion. Says the Gemara, "Mechlal debaya drisha." That implies that it requires drisha. So that's what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to be thinking about tzion, and that's how we know that you take lulav for kol shiva zecher l'migdash. Ask Rav Soloveitchik. It's a little bit unusual to use Rav Soloveitchik to explain the Chassidus a minute, but go with it. Ask Rav Soloveitchik. They're both Gemaras are about making a Zecher L'Migdash, but they have two totally different sets of examples of what a Zecher L'Migdash is, And worse yet, they have two totally different psukim to teach the din of Zecha the Mikdash. Now, you do not need to be the world's greatest brisker to know that if there are two psukim and two sets of examples and two gemaras, that you probably have two dinim, right? This is not one din. If it were one din, it would be one pasuk. Two separate, it's got to be two dinim. So Rav Soloveitchik used the following terminology. He said there are two types of Zecha l'Mikdash. There's what we can call Zecha l'Churban and what we would call Zecha l'Mikdash. Very different from each other. Zecha l'Churban is being saddened by the event of the Churban. That's what we're commemorating, and the event of the Churban is bringing us sadness. Zecha l'Mikdash is to recall the glory of the Mikdash by doing things that are similar to the way it was. So if I were to ask you, putting ashes on the chassan's head, which one is that? Churban. Taking lulav kol shiva. Zecha l'Mikdash, right? Meaning it's very clear that now you have tzion hi doresh eima, what mechal debayi drisha, you need to be doresh tzion, that's Zecha l'Mikdash. Try to be Dorish the way Tzion was and the way Tzion will be again. And that was Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai's set of takanos. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, after the Churban, said when he saw people completely depressed, he said, no, there's going to be a Mikdash again. And therefore we should keep certain minhagim that recall how things went in the Mikdash, because we're going to need to get used to them because it's coming back. And he immediately filled people with hope that there's going to be a Mikdash. That's Zecha l'Mikdash. On the other hand, Im eshkachech Yerushalayim tishkach yimini tidbak l'shoni l'chikim l'oskrechi. That's a very sad kind of statement. That's a Zecher l'Churban. One could argue that the difference between Al Naras Bavel and Shir HaMalos is Zecha l'Mikdash versus Zecha l'Churban. And that maybe by the Hasidim they'd rather emphasize the Shir HaMalos. Problem is, it doesn't really explain why people would do nothing, why they wouldn't say anything, Al Naras Bavel or Shir HaMalos during the week. It could be that people are just too busy during the week, meaning benching is pretty long as it is. And you know, there was a movement amongst some of the Achronim, even in contemporary times, to consolidate benching a little bit. Like, do we really need to say all of those words? Like, what can you knock off, like, right off the bat and benching? The harachmas, right? Those you can cut off. Those aren't really part of benching. They were just added in later on. So many people have a minute not to say harachmas on Shabbos. Why? Because you're not allowed to ask for bakashas on Shabbos. So harachmas are bakashas. That's, in my family, we don't say the harachmas on Shabbos, provided that the rest of benching takes as long as it takes everyone else to say with our harachmas. That's my proviso, that you have to actually focus on the words. We always say that if you're when we're in the gym working out and someone says, "Hey, what do you bench?" You say, "Only till Ali Chasrein." Yeah. Is it problematic in any on Shabbos? Because it would sadden your Shabbos a little bit. I hear. It seems the minhag is to do it. But it wouldn't work with the Shlach HaKadosh changing from Al Naras Bavel to Shir HaMalos Dafka for Shabbos. But it could just be a time issue, and that's why the Magen Avraham and others had actually abridged versions of benching. So we're not going to do the abridged versions of benching, but maybe at the very least cut out the extras so that, you know, whatever we do bench will be done properly. Okay, we'll stop there. Maybe tomorrow we'll discuss which way to face with the Aron Kodesh. All right, we'll see. Okay, have a great